How do you feel about Qantas today? What a weekend. There's going to be strike action. No, we're grounding the airline. All bets are off. As you know, of course, overnight, Fair Work Australia's ordered the airline back into the air and limited flights resume today. So if you're supposed to be going somewhere today with Qantas, you may be able to, but you may be rescheduled. You may have to go tomorrow. You may decide to go with someone else. To get an insight into the effect this is going to have on the likes of you and me, and indeed on Qantas itself, not just over the next few days, but in the future, I'm joined by Clive Dorman. Clive's a travel and aviation writer for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, and the publisher of Travel Consumer Daily, a website devoted to issues affecting everyday travellers. Hello, Clive.
Good morning.
Has Qantas now been damaged in terms of brand and reputation?
Most definitely. This has been going on for a number of years. There has been increasing feedbacks in the blogs that I run blogs every Monday on a number of websites around Australia, and people are very upset with the. This is long before all this started happening. Very upset about issues like customer service and those type of things. And that has been gradually getting worse, even though the airline about 2 years ago set up a customer service training facility in Sydney, which was designed to improve these things. But so that's that was always on the back burner, and now the added issue is unreliability with the union action. And prior to that, the safety issues, people are wondering whether they can rely on Qantas in the way that they used to.
So given that, and especially over the last month or so with the unreliability, and most people I know who travel have been caught up in that at some point, and now what happened over the weekend, what's happened now? Where are we with that? With what is an Australian icon? What has formerly given us all a kind of warm inner glow when we see the kids singing in front of Ayers Rock?
Yeah. Well, the airline's version of the event, and bearing in mind that everyone in Australia, because it's our national carrier, we tend to have a personal opinion about it. But the airline's the way it's told the story is that if they didn't do what they did, which has grounded the airline, as it turns out, for about 2 days, it would have faced another year of disruption by three different unions.
Okay, but I suppose I'm wondering, where is our law? Do we still have the same loyalty that we have had for Qantas?
We actually do. We don't like to, perhaps always to admit it, but we do. But we're like, even though we don't have shares in the company, I certainly don't. But we do have a sense of ownership. So we all have an opinion about Qantas. We still regard it as ours. It's quite an unusual situation that a company which is a national icon has a sense of ownership amongst the population it serves.
But what does that mean when it comes to looking for tickets and buying them? We might all be proud of Qantas, but does that mean we'll always go with Qantas?
Qantas is one of the most expensive airlines, especially for business travellers, for people paying the big money for the business class tickets and so on. Their tickets are often, and even in economy in many cases, their tickets are often quite a bit dearer than competing carriers. And as far as that is concerned, there is no loyalty anymore. Even with the whole other issue there about frequent flyer programs and all the rest of it, which is designed to retain loyalty, but that hasn't in many situations that hasn't really worked. This is something that doesn't just affect Qantas, but it affects all air travel these days. The idea of loyalty, brand loyalty, is very much something of the past. People nowadays generally just tend to look for the best deal, and in fact, Choice, the Australian Consumers Association, has recently argued in a major report on this that you're much better off financially looking for the best fare rather than joining up to a frequent flyer program. The benefits of a frequent flyer program are quite illusory.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Clive Dorman. He's a travel and aviation writer with Fairfax, and his publisher of the Travel Consumer Daily, which is a website. We'll link to that, actually, so that you can get across some of the issues that, that Clive traverses in it. So given that, that brand doesn't matter so much anymore, that it's about cost, what is the, I suppose, the minimum level of service that people are prepared to go to, that trade-off between comfort and price, if you like?
Well, the further the flight, or the longer the flight, the more people require. Basically, there's only one major, two major long-haul, low-cost airlines in the world, only two, whereas there are dozens or even hundreds of low-cost short-haul carriers. When it comes to long-haul flights, people are very reluctant to give up basic comforts, which they regard as necessary for, you know, in the case of Australians, who are the most intrepid flyers in the world, for flights of up to 24 hours if you want to go to New York or London. AirAsia X, which flies down here from Kuala Lumpur, has been very successful in getting people on board their long-haul flights to Europe, London and Paris. But generally speaking, that's a tiny minority of the market. People generally aren't prepared to give up things that they previously were given for free that they now have to pay for
That's in long haul, though, domestically. Yeah. And although there's some very big distances in domestic flights in Australia, it is different, isn't it? I mean, now we no longer get what seemed like everything for free. In fact, if it was always covered by our ticket price, now there's additions that we have to pay for on flights.
Well, if it's a one-hour flight from Sydney to Brisbane or Sydney to Melbourne, people are quite happy to forego what they regarded as over-servicing, and also paying for over-servicing on those short routes. But interestingly, on the longer routes across the Nullarbor from Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, and Adelaide to Perth, the aspiring number two airline, Virgin Blue, which is now Virgin Australia, was always very weak because it ran only small, cramped 737s on those services, and has, in the past few months, had to introduce wide-body A330 aircraft on those routes to attract sufficient business travellers. So even within Australia, the longer the route, the less people are prepared to give up their comforts.
Speaking of Virgin, of course, Virgin will be laughing with what's happened lately with Qantas, and it'll be a great time for them. What about travellers? What about ordinary people who are paying for their own travel? They're doing it for leisure or for family reasons. Is it going to get better?
Well, define better.
Cheaper, more accessible?
No.
Easier to do?
It's going to be cheaper and more accessible, but it's going to be cramped and uncomfortable. That's just basically the way the world's going. The low-cost airline industry is the new glamour investment, because it's able to achieve returns on investment which can only be dreamed about by full-service carriers. You can make much more money out of an airline, a low-cost airline, than you can out of a full-service airline. One of the spin-offs of that means that for everything that's not nailed down, you're going to pay something. Even for services that you previously regarded as free, they're now part of these raft of what they call ancillary revenues, which low-cost airlines rely on.
So in Europe, you've got Ryanair, which is one of the big low-cost airlines. I think they're now talking about charging you if you want to go to the loo on a plane.
They've been running that for about a year. They've recently abandoned it, but they are that's basically part of a long-running series of publicity stunts by that airline, which are designed to get people talking about it. But nevertheless, they do have some outlandish ideas about how they might be able to charge ancillary revenues to passengers in the future. Ryanair is probably the most complained about airline in the world, but it's also one of the most successful financially.
So what are we going to see here? Are we going to see what Jetstar, which of course is owned by Qantas, do more and more? Tiger, which was not flying for a while, but is now flying again. Is that going to grow more and more, and are we going to care less and less about Qantas?
Inevitably, I think, yes. Qantas is now, would you believe, as a mainline brand in domestically in within Australia. Virgin Australia is now virtually the same size in terms of the number of flights to the number of destinations it services is almost the same size now as Qantas. Of course, Qantas is fragmented and now has Jetstar as well. But Virgin is about, even though it only has about 35% of the market, has about 50% of the full service market. But bearing in mind that Virgin Australia became a low-cost, stopped being a low-cost carrier only this year after 10 years in Australia.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. And thank you very much for joining us today, Clive.
My pleasure.
That is Clive Dorman, who publishes the Travel Consumer Daily. He's also a travel and aviation writer with The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. I am interested to hear from you on this. If you travel a fair bit, do you look for the well-known brands, or is it all about the cost? Do get in touch. You can jump on our website. You can jump on Facebook. Indeed, there's already comments on both of those. Or you can give us a ring, 0283334130. I'll just remind you of the website, abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. Later, we'll meet the man who's won this year's Justice Medal for his work in Aboriginal legal rights. Next, though, the story of stuff.